born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As we move into a time of prayer this morning, I know that you all have concerns and joys that are on your hearts. After gathering with family and friends this Christmas and today or tomorrow for New Year's, I invite you to lift up those prayers to God this morning. And I also invite you to remember the names of those who are on the screens. Velma Shoemaker was in hospice, but Velma passed away yesterday and wanted to make you all aware of that. And I invite you to hold Velma's children and her family and friends in your prayers this morning. Let me invite you to bow your heads and we'll pray together. God, your love blesses us and unites us in this time and place. We come before you this morning with hearts filled with the joy of this season, the lights, the color, and especially the message of peace and goodwill to all people. In the birth of Jesus, you have given our weary and struggling world reason to rejoice. You have given hope to all who cry, and help us find our way again. Create in us, O God, hearts devoted to shaping your world. Bless those for whom such a world seems only a distant dream. The poor, the imprisoned, the ill, those who mourn, the lonely, the despised. Open our hearts, Spirit of Life, to the news of the angels and the wonder of the shepherds, that these days may renew us in the new year ahead. This morning we pray that you will open us to hear your words, so that others may see in our lives that you are merciful and gracious and abounding in steadfast love. These things we ask, trusting in your care for us now and always. And we pray in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, the last Sunday of 2017, I want to just take a moment and express to you all our gratitude for your generosity. Trinity is an incredibly generous congregation, and we are grateful for the ways that you have supported the mission and ministry of Trinity to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. You do that through your regular tithes and offerings. You also do that through the mission boxes. 52 weeks when we are supporting organizations in our community and around the globe. You also do that with your hands and your feet in the many ways that you serve in tangible ways. So I thank you for your presence, for the gifts that you offer of your lives and of what you have. And we are grateful for that. Let me invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we give you thanks. We thank you for the many blessings that you have showered upon us, and we pray this morning that you will use our tithes and our offerings for the work of your kingdom, that your will and your way will be done. May we be your hands and feet as we offer our hearts and our very lives. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let all in thee inherit. Let us find that second rest. Alpha and Omega be, end of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing. Glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless, let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfect. lost in wonder, love, and
David Bailey said that the bit of road that requires the most illumination is that point where it forks. Today, we come to a point more than 500 years after the Reformation and more than 300 years after the birth of John Wesley. Today, we come to a point where we focus on another new year, wanting to go deeper in our faith and to learn more about the way of life that should distinguish us as Methodist Christians. You know, as time passes by, the clear anointing of God's Spirit, which energized Mr. Wesley, the founder of Methodism, and ignited the early Methodist movement, that clear anointing becomes covered with dust and loses its force. So this morning, we come to a fork in the road, and we must choose either to rediscover in our own time the character of a Methodist Christian, or simply to take the easy and familiar way of lapsed memory and indistinct character. So this morning, in this service, we have an invitation to present ourselves to God as we meet again Mr. Wesley, and we hear his 18th century preaching, and we hear the words of his brother Charles Wesley in hymns. As we do that today, may we rediscover our character as Methodists. Let me invite you to pray with me. God, ever faithful, in a time of great need, you raised up your servant John Wesley to preach the good news of redemption and the life of holiness. Revive your work among us that, inspired by the same faith and upheld by the same grace in word and sacrament, we may love you and our neighbor faithfully in our own time through Jesus Christ our Lord.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke. chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. Hear now the word of God. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The distinguishing marks of a Methodist are not our opinions of any sort, assenting to a particular theology, embracing any particular ideology, espousing the judgment of one teacher or another, are all quite beside the point. We do not place any of our faith in being attached to any extraordinary way of speaking or unusual set of expressions. We prefer the most obvious, easy, common words to communicate our meaning, both on ordinary occasions and when we speak of the things of God. We are not distinguished by local or particular traditions. Our religion does not lie in doing what God has not commanded or abstaining from what God has not forbidden. Nor are we distinguished by laying the whole stress of religion on any single doctrine. If you say, yes, you are, for you think we are saved by faith alone, I answer, you do not understand the terms. By salvation, we mean holiness of heart and life. And this we affirm to spring from faith alone. Can even a nominal Christian deny this? Who then is a Methodist? A Methodist is one who has the love of God shed abroad in his or her heart by the Holy Spirit. A Methodist is one who loves the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. God is the joy of the heart and the desire of the soul that is constantly crying out, Whom have I in heaven beside you? There is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My God, my all, you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We are therefore happy in God, indeed always happy, as having in us a well of water springing up to everlasting life and overflowing our souls with peace and joy. Perfect love, having cast out fear, we rejoice evermore.
To live life again.
whether in ease or pain, whether in sickness or health, whether in life or death, we give thanks from the ground of our hearts to God who orders it for good. Knowing that as every good gift comes from above, so none but good can come from the Father of lights, into whose hand we have wholly committed our bodies and souls, as into the hands of a faithful Creator. For indeed we pray without ceasing. It is given us always to pray and not to faint. Our hearts are lifted up to God at all times and in all places. In this we are never hindered, much less interrupted by any person or thing. Consequently, we always exercise our love to God by praying without ceasing, rejoicing always, and in everything giving thanks. This commandment is written in our hearts, that those who love God love their brother and sister also. We also accordingly love our neighbor as ourselves. We love every person as our own soul, for we love our enemies. Indeed, we love the evil, the unthankful, and the enemies of God. And if it is not in our power to do good to those that hate us, we pray for them, even though they continue to spurn our love and abuse and persecute us. For Methodists are pure in heart. The love of God has purified our hearts from all vengeful passions, envy, malice, and wrath, from every unkind attitude or evil affection. It has cleansed us from pride and arrogance of spirit that lead to contention. For all our desires are for God, and to the remembrance of God's name. Our one desire is the one design of our life, namely, not to do our own will, but the will of God who sent us. Our one intention at all times and in all things is not to please ourselves, but God, whom our souls love. For as we love God, so we keep God's commandments, not only some or most of them, but all, from the least to the greatest. To do the will of God on earth as it is done in heaven is our daily crown of rejoicing. Accordingly, we strive with all our might to keep all the commandments of God, for our obedience is in proportion to our love, the source from which it flows. Therefore, loving God with all our heart, we serve God with all our strength. Thank you. by consequence, whatever we do, it is all to the glory of God. In all our endeavors, we not only aim at this, which is implied in having a single eye, but actually attain it. The customs of the world do not hinder our running the race that is set before us. We know that vice does not lose its nature, no matter how fashionable it becomes. We remember that everyone is to give an account to God. But whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, we think and speak and act, glorifying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all things. Lastly, as we have time, we do good to all people, to neighbors and strangers, friends and enemies. We seek to do good to them in every possible way, not only to their bodies by feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick or the prisoner, but much more we labor to do good to their souls, according to the ability that God gives. These are the principles and practices of our denomination. These are the values of a true Methodist. By these values, by these fruits of a living faith, we labor to distinguish ourselves from the unbelieving world. But we earnestly desire to not be distinguished at all from real Christians of whatever denomination. Not from any who sincerely follow after what they know they have not yet attained. No, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And I implore you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that we be in no way divided among ourselves. Is your heart right, as my heart is with yours? I ask no further question. If it is so, give me your hand. For opinions or words, let us not destroy the work of God. Do you love and serve God? It is enough. I give you the right hand of fellowship. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, let us strive together for the faith of the gospel. Let us lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Dearly beloved, the Christian life to which we are called is a life in Christ, redeemed from sin by Christ, and consecrated to God through Christ. We have entered upon this life having been admitted into that new covenant of which our Lord Jesus Christ is mediator, and which Jesus sealed with his own blood that it might stand forever. On one side of the covenant is God's promise to fulfill in and through us all that God declared in Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. We are sure that this promise still stands, for we have known God's goodness and proved God's grace in our own lives day by day. On the other side, we promise to live no more for ourselves, but for Christ, who loved us even to death. He called us to serve God so that the purposes of Christ's coming would be fulfilled. From time to time, we renew our vows of consecration, especially when we gather at the Lord's table. But today, we meet expressly, as generations of our ancestors have met, to joyfully and solemnly renew the covenant which bound them and binds us to God. Let us now examine ourselves before God, humbly confessing our sins and watching our hearts, lest by self-deceit we shut ourselves out from God's presence. Let us pray. O God, our Creator, who has set forth the way of life for us in your beloved Son, we confess with shame our slowness to learn of Jesus, our reluctance to follow Christ. You have spoken and called, and we have not given heed. Your beauty has shone forth, and we have been blind. You have stretched out your hand to us through strangers among us, and we have passed by. We have taken great gifts and have given little thanks. We have been unworthy of your changeless love. Have mercy upon us and forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us, we ask you, the poverty of our worship, the formality and selfishness of our prayers, our inconstancy and unbelief. Forgive our neglect of fellowship and the means of grace, our hesitating witness for Christ, our false pretenses, and our willful ignorance of your ways. Have mercy upon us and forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us where we have wasted our time or misused our gifts. Forgive us where we have excused our own wrongdoing or evaded our responsibility. forgive us that we have been unwilling to overcome evil with good, that we have drawn back from the cross. Have mercy upon us and forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us that so little of your love has reached others through us. Forgive us where we have cherished the things that divide us from others, where we have made it hard for them to live with us, and where we have been thoughtless in our judgments, hasty in condemnation, and grudging in forgiveness. Have mercy upon us and forgive us, O Lord. If we have made no ventures in fellowship, if we have kept in our heart a grievance against another, if we have not sought reconciliation, if we have been eager for the punishment of wrongdoers and slow to seek their redemption, have mercy upon us and forgive us, O Lord. Let each of us in silence make confession. This is the message we have heard from Jesus and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God. Let us conclude by uniting our hearts and our voices to pray together this important and powerful Methodist tradition that reminds us who and whose we are. The Wesley Covenant Prayer. I am no longer my own but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.
Having remembered God's faithfulness to the covenant and to each one of God's children, and having renewed our desire to participate in that covenant along with God and one another, we come to a table where we find abundant grace and mercy. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come forward at this time to prepare to receive the elements. And in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is welcome to everyone. This is a place of grace, and so each of you is invited to come as you feel led. You'll come to the pair of servers that's in front of your section, receive a piece of bread, and then take the bread and dip it in a cup. After you have taken and tasted that indeed God is good, you may return to your seats, or if you like, spend as much time as you want here at the kneeling benches that are in front. All is ready. Come and
thank you.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for the mystery which we encounter every time we come to this table, for the ways in which you nourish us for faithful living. And we ask that you would go with us as we rise up to live in response to your grace, serving our neighbor with great love. Amen.
Amen. Having renewed our covenant to live the coming year in alignment with God's will for our lives, proclaiming Christ as Lord and King, will you stand and sing with us, "How Great Thou Art"? Amen. Dan and Jen Johnson's daughter, Siobhan, and her husband Eric are here this morning. I want you to welcome them. And granddaughters. And I know you'll want to say a word to them after the service. Now go with this blessing. May you go this morning committed to renew your faith, committed to a covenant that you have made with Jesus Christ. And as you go out, may the love of God be shed abroad in your hearts. Go in peace. Amen.